a Montreal mother and religious studies teacher at Marianopolis. She also teaches at McGill University. She's just published a book called Little Buddhas, Children and Childhoods in Buddhist Texts and Traditions. It's published by Oxford University Press. Very impressive tome, and I have it in my hand. And Vanessa Sasson is in the Daybreak studio sitting right across from me. Vanessa, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Congratulations on the book. This was probably a whole lot of work.
It was.
years and years. Now, why was it that you wanted to look specifically at children and Buddhism?
Well, the idea originally came, I was pregnant. And so I was inundated with lists and lists and lists of shopping and things to do and classes to take and all the things that apparently a new mother has to know and procure. And I kept wondering if this was always the case. And I had assumed that somewhere in the back of my mind, I suspected it wasn't always this way. It wasn't so complicated. And so I started asking myself questions about, well, what is this history of parenting and what's the history of childhood and has always functioned the way we're functioning right now? I remember coming across, I was teaching something about the Ten Commandments, and I remember suddenly realizing that there's no commandment about parenting. There's no commandment about children. You have to honor your mother and your father, but you don't have to honor your children. That's not actually the worldview. And most ancient traditions actually function that way, where it's about the adult community and it's about how to take care of the adult community, but children are kind of a byproduct, and you raise them in the hopes of them contributing to society, but you don't have to honor and respect them in the way we understand it today.
So what is, what constitutes a Buddhist childhood if you're to compare it to the Judeo-Christian tradition?
Well, it depends in what context you're talking about, what generation you're talking about.
In some cases we're talking about monasteries and...
Right. Right. So in monastic settings, it's different, obviously. And I mean, that's true of Western contexts as well. So you can't kind of make a general globalized statement. What I'm interested in really is just trying to track the history of the concept of childhood, right? And seeing how it's changed, how we've gone from a space where we think about honoring our parents to now a context where we think about honoring our children, which I don't think is wrong. I'm just interested in the fact that we've changed. And so I wanted to figure out what the question was from the Buddhist perspective. How do Buddhists deal with childhood? And the most obvious place to look is the Buddha and his relationship to his own child. And the story is that he left home the day his child was born, and he called him a burden. He named him Rahula, which in some translations means burden, and then he walked away. So he's an absentee father right from the beginning.
And it's kind of the whole concept of then sending your child away for education elsewhere, and you carry on with your life, which happens, I mean, as you say, it has happened an awful lot in the Western world as well.
Yeah. It's a bit more complicated than that. There is this, the Buddha walks away from his child as though, it almost seems as though it's not that important to him. What's important to him is that he achieve awakening, that he become enlightened. But he does come back after he becomes the Buddha, and then he wants to raise his child, but many years later. And then he wants to offer him what he understood. So it's not as clear-cut as it seems, but there's definitely this notion of sending away or walking away that does happen in monastic settings, but it's not always what it seems. Often when you send a child to a monastery, it's not just to walk away, it's to provide that child with the best education that they can have.
So outside of the monastery, is there such a thing as a Buddhist upbringing that really does contrast in any way sharply with what we're more used to here?
It's a really hard question to answer because Buddhism is huge. I mean, we're talking about almost 500 million people worldwide. We're talking about Buddhist contexts that differ from Taiwan to mainland China to India to Sri Lanka to Nepal. I mean, there's so much variety in Buddhism that you can't kind of give that ultimate answer. It's like saying, well, how does a Western child get raised? Well, it depends where and in what context. If you look at the monastic settings, it gives you a bit more hold that you can actually answer the question. And we do have evidence of children being raised in monasteries for all kinds of reasons. We have evidence of children going to monasteries because they were orphans, they were abandoned. And so monasteries play these really important roles of taking care of children, providing them with education and taking care of, the community in ways that maybe sometimes a community can't do itself. In other ways, it's also just extending. I mean, the monastery becomes the family, which is a really neat way of thinking that maybe the notion of family that we've created may be in some ways a bit limited, that this notion that it takes a village, it really does take a village. Sometimes it takes a whole monastery to raise a child.
The book itself is, the very fact that you were able to get it published by published by Oxford University Press must mean that it fills a bit of a niche out there in terms of literature.
Yeah, nobody's done anything like this before. So the whole phenomenon of looking at childhood in Buddhism is actually really new because Most people tend to assume that Buddhism is not interested in families because it tends to promote celibacy and asceticism, very much like Catholicism. And so there's very little interest in anything other than this kind of strict philosophical worldview. A lot of people still think Buddhism is just a philosophy.
The book is called Little Buddhas, Children and Childhoods in Buddhist Texts and Traditions. It is edited by Vanessa Sasson. It's published by Oxford University Press and available now. Vanessa, we wish you much success with it. Thank you very much for coming in
so early
and telling us about it. Vanessa Sasson was religious studies professor at Marianapolis. We'll put a link up to the book on our Facebook page in case you didn't have a pen or a pencil there to note it down.